club.
Here we go.
Because the run home just got a little bumpier. Rush, rush.
You cannot be serious.
I've got to see you every friggin' week.
There's got to be an investigation to this.
This is the Triple M Rush Hour with MG.
The mountain meets the ocean tonight, MG. The men of the Rift taking on the soldiers of the Shire. Sharks v Panthers, 7:40 kickoff. We are live at Allianz Stadium. Liam Flanagan here. MG, how have the emotions been today?
You know what? You asked me about 5 minutes ago and I said they've been pretty good all day, being an ex-Penny boy myself. But I must confess, I'm just watching now as we speak. The Panthers have walked into the stadium. They actually walked from their hotel, which was across the way. And I suddenly had a bit of a knot in the stomach. It's fantastic weekend of finals. Footy is upon us. Four Sydney teams, first time since 2012 that we've had four Sydney teams make it this weekend of finals. So, look, I can't wait.
And how good is it to see a double header leading into this game, MG? The Holden's Women's Premiership taking place at the moment. The Broncos 10-0 leading the Roosters at the moment and willing, and it's fantastic to be able to watch footy ahead of another game of footy.
Oh, it is. It's pure rugby league, the women's competition. They tackle around the legs. There's no wrestle. Their ball movement is fluent, and it's a really joy to watch.
Broncos, after smashing the Dragons in the women's comp last week, doing the same to the Roosters at the moment. There is no need to move. We have got you covered all the way through to kickoff in this one tonight. MG and I will be here till 7 o'clock, and then your call team, Ryan Girdler, Mark Geyer, the best in the business, Dan Ganain, and Brent Reed on the sideline will jump in from Triple M NRL primetime from 7 o'clock. Ryan Girdler, the man who thought his own team, the Panthers, should have got knocked out last week against the Warriors. He didn't tip him, MG. We'll see if he's back on board tonight.
He's good, isn't he? Yeah.
Is he welcome back in Penrith?
Oh, of course he is. I don't know if he's welcome back in Penrith, but yeah, of course he is. He calls it out, he says it. I like that. He's, I can't afford to do that. I live in Penrith still.
Another chance to win your way, the final chance to win your way into our VIP suite at Rosehill Gardens, MG, Saturday week.
This time next week, we'll be there.
When you hear the trumpet, 133353, call us and you could be coming along with a mate to Rosehill Gardens. But up next, Brent Reed is going to join us. He's got some stats, MG.
He comes
bearing stats.
Yes.
And he comes bearing player news. That's up next. The Rush Hour with MG, Sydney's 104.9, Triple M.
For a deeper dive into footy, hear the Triple M Grill Team live weekday mornings on 104.9 Triple M, or get the catch-up podcast daily from the Triple M app.
The Rush Hour with MG, live at ANZ Stadium, Sydney's 104.9 Triple M. We are counting down to Friday night footy, sudden death, 90 minutes away from the Sharks taking on the Panthers for the winner. They prepare for a clash next Friday with the Melbourne Storm. For the loser, it is season over. Let's do this, MG.
Reedy. You've got mail.
It's time.
You have mail.
For Reedy's mail.
Well done, Reedy.
Welcome, Brent Reed.
Hello, gents.
Before we get to you, Reedy, because there's some people listening to us right now who are interested in the women's NRL going on right now. 10 minutes into the second half, the Broncos have just gone in again, thanks to Meg Ward. This star-studded Broncos outfit are winning 14-10 over the Roosters.
They look like they're going to be hard to beat.
Very hard to beat.
Very stiff stuff. What am I trying to say? Tough to beat. I combined stiff and tough into a word there, Reedy.
Yes.
Now, Brent Reed, if we weren't sure whether you're a journalist or an ex-player, you've walked into the box with a graph.
Graph, yes. There's been a lot of negativity around the game lately, as we all know. And it's interesting, this week the NRL actually sat a couple of us down and took us through some stats that show the player behaviour this year is better than it has been the past 5 years. Now, obviously, this has been overtaken because of what's happened at South Sydney in the last couple of days. But, you know, basically in the past 5 years, you know, it's down almost, well, it's down from 56 offences in 2014 to 17 this year, not including the South issue at the moment. So, you know, obviously at the moment a lot of doom and gloom about player behaviour because of what's happened the past couple of weeks. But the NRL, from a purely statistical point of view, is winning the war. The players are better behaved right now than they have been in
probably
the past
in the
5 years.
Of the game.
Probably in the history of the game. So, I mean, obviously we've had a lot of talk about what's happened in the past couple of weeks.
Do you think that's why there's such quite a microscope on things that happen these days? Because we're not seeing as many of them. When something does happen that's untoward, it's jumped on like
it becomes a bigger issue, yes. Almost, doesn't it? Yeah. Yeah, you're probably right, MG. I mean, that's probably right. There hasn't been a lot this year, really, has there? I mean, the whole start of the year was about the referees, wasn't it? There was nothing about
the penalties, and exactly.
And now we've had a couple of player incidents, and they've become a big deal. And you're probably right. It's because, to a large extent, we haven't had a lot this year in that department. So when it happens, we're a bit horrified and we throw our hands in the air. But look, there's no doubt the NRL players are better behaved today than they have been, you know, and when you consider everything there is out there at the moment with social media.
Rudy, you consider the fishbowl they live in.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's, you know, Josh Dugan said it the other day in the press conference that, you know, and love or hate Josh Dugan as a player, but you've got to feel for empathy for what he did the other day.
Yeah.
It was heartfelt. And I applaud him for doing it. I think, you know, that the players are human beings, and if they stuff up, the club will punish them as well as and the media will. And the fact that that's so low, I think it'll astonish most people who are listening.
Yeah.
It'll definitely surprise that number, just 17 incidents this season. Reedy, walk us through this South story that broke this morning.
Well, I mean, obviously, it's not a very good situation. It's pretty unsavoury if the facts are, you know, stand up and the allegations stand up. Look, there's lots of clubs watching this really closely. I mean, Canterbury got fined $250,000 last week for an incident that took place in a private setting where they were photographed and didn't know they were being photographed. So, you know, that was $250,000. The Roos, if you remember a few years ago, Mitchell Pearce got 8 weeks and over $100,000 for, you know, a video of a simulating an act with a dog. Now, you could argue that this situation, if it turns out to be what is being reported, you could argue easily that this is worse. I mean, exposing yourself to a woman on social media. So, you know, Canterbury and the Sydney Roosters are watching this really closely, and obviously the Roosters play South potentially in a week. So,
is this a recent happening? Did this happen just?
No, it happened back in May.
In May.
And it's sort of been, my phone's going off.
That's okay,
the big
mate.
One. No, it happened back in May, and it's that's obviously been.
Uncle Nick.
and it hasn't, you know, it's obviously South looked at initially, couldn't get contact with the woman. She followed it up, but it was an anonymous email address, and okay. because of that, it was basically spam, and it disappeared off the radar. So, you know, obviously now it's blown up again, and the NRL is looking at it, and South are looking at it, and they'll come to some sort of conclusion. And as I said, there's a couple of clubs watching it really closely.
How much we saw Anthony Seibold speak this morning, and he basically said, I don't want to answer this. I want to talk about the football. If you guys want to ask about this, I'll end this. MG, how distracting will this be for South Sydney ahead of their game against the Dragons?
Well, depending on how severe it is, enormous outside noise. It's one of the biggest games of the year, and all of a sudden you've got cameras at your training runs for different reasons other than watching your ball drills. It's a mind thing. It unsettles your nerve.
All right. Well, Reddy, let's leave that. Obviously, the investigation's still ongoing. We'll report on it when more news comes to hand. But let's talk about some player movement.
Yes, Big Nelson in particular.
Well, there's a couple of big ones in Melbourne, actually, MG. So next week I expect Melbourne to make a couple of massive signing announcements. One of those guys is Big Nelson. As you said, I expect Cameron Smith to get announced next week. New one-year deal for him. No surprise there. He wanted to stay.
Yep.
And he was never going anywhere else. But Nelson's an interesting one because there were lots of clubs circling Big Nelson. He had a year to go on his deal. Parramatta had been linked with him and sorted other clubs. And it looks like he's committed to Melbourne for the foreseeable future. And the other one with Big Nelson is he's always talked about potentially being All Black one day. Obviously, he's put that on the back burner as well. So next week, I reckon we'll hear at least Nelson, possibly Cam Smith, a couple of massive announcements for Melbourne leading to that big preliminary final.
Munster?
I think we'll have to wait to the end of the season with Munster. But, I expect him to stay, MG. I think he wants to. He's bought a house down there. He's got a girl down there now.
Yep.
He's pretty settled. The club will pay him what he's worth, which is $1 million a year. And I reckon they'll get it done. Look, I don't think his management or Cameron really want to come to Sydney. I don't think they think that'd be a great environment for him. And, you know, when Craig re-signed down there, I think Melbourne were always confident that Cameron would stay because he sort of tied his future to Craig a little bit. So
it's a good lure, isn't it?
You keep those three blokes,
yeah.
You know, going in next year, they'll be a force again.
Couple more names without notice, Reedy. Val Holmes, where's he at?
Where's Val? Look, he's obviously put talks off to the end of the year, and I think, you know, if you speak to people in North Queensland, they're convinced he's going to be there in 2020. They'll sign Barber for 1 year. They'll get a transfer fee done with or an agreement done with St Helens. Barber will come for a year, and then sometime after November 1, they'll stitch up Val Holmes on a long-term deal.
Corey Oates?
He wants to stay in Brisbane. His management has said they'll exhaust all options in Brisbane before he looks elsewhere. I expect he'll do probably a one-year deal in Brisbane, and then potentially either Brisbane will clear some cash for years after, or he'll look around.
And I imagine that clubs and managers and all the rest of it will be like people at Boxing Day sales ahead of the November 1 date for Nathan Cleary.
That's how it should be every year. But that'd be ideal, wouldn't it?
Yeah. It would be.
We should have like a window.
Yeah.
I reckon we should have a window from November.
November to February.
End of January or something.
Yeah, like this.
3-month window.
I mean, I told the story again last night. I got told in late November of 1997, the West Ferns were folding, and within 3 weeks, I was at Penrith.
Yeah.
You know, with two young kids, and it's definitely doable.
That excuse doesn't wash anymore, does it? But if you look in the NFL, blokes move.
Yep.
They move weekly from club to club in a week.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
All right, so Nathan Cleary, just quickly.
Sorry, yeah.
Well, I said a while ago I thought he was going to go to the Tigers. That doesn't look so good at the moment. I think he'll probably stay at Penrith by the sounds of it.
Does Ivan answer your calls anymore?
No, I haven't tried him lately.
What about if Maloney wins the comp with Penrith? Do you think he might go to the Titans?
Well, I don't know, MG. That's a good question. You know, they're obviously keen on him, and the way the Peachy situation's developing, I'd be really surprised if Tyrone Peachy's there next year. Just because I just think the way it's evolved the last couple of days, I can't imagine Tyrone's overly happy with what's happened up there and the comments that have been made. And I know they haven't been directed to him. They've been directed to his management. But, you know, the two almost go hand in glove. So, but the Titans, if they let him go, they won't let him go for free. They want something in return, either money or players. So there's a bit of water to
go under the bridge. Watch his face.
Nice work, Reedy. First graph brought into the Rush Hour with MG all year. Outstanding
work.
Is it
a graph or a graph? I'd say graph.
Potato, potato. Let's ask this man who's ready to come in. Let's take a quick song, because Ryan Girdler has come in. He's back on board the Panthers. Look at him. He's wearing all his old gear.
Yeah, the graph. He'd be a graph, man.
It's the Rush Hour with MG, Sydney's 104.9 Triple M.
For a deeper dive into footy, hear the Triple M Grill Team live weekday mornings on 104.9 Triple M, or get the catch-up podcast daily from the Triple M app.
The Rush Hour with MG, we are live at Allianz Stadium, Sydney's 104.9 Triple M. 7:40 is the kickoff for tonight's game between the Sharks and the Panthers. We've got you covered all the way through 7 o'clock, Triple M NRL primetime, with Mark Geyer, Dan Ganane, Brent Reed is on your sideline tonight, and this man, Ryan Girdler. Girds, welcome.
Nice. Thanks for having me back, boys. Oh, really appreciate it.
Anytime, buddy.
Good to have
you. Love coming in, having a chat before we do the game, so happy to be here.
And great to see you've just downloaded the Triple M NRL app, which everybody should be doing if they want to listen to the Dragons-Souths game tomorrow night. It is the only way to hear it, the Triple M call of that game. Get it now, the Triple M NRL app. Girds, it's great to see you've jumped back on board the Panthers wagon after tipping against them last week.
Yep. Well, I believe they're a good chance. And I mean, look, I always support Penrith when they play, but I don't always think that they're going to win. And I really didn't think that was going to be the case last week, given their form going into the match. But they've showed me over the last couple of weeks, they've earned my trust again, and I think tonight they're in with a good show. And look, coming up against a finals-hardened team here with some really quality individuals, guys that really, they love these sort of occasions. So it's certainly not going to be easy for Penrith, but I think that they're a really good show, given the fact that Wade Graham's out, Josh Dugan's out. I think it takes a fair bit of experience, and especially defensively, out of their lineup. So yeah, I'll give the boys a really good chance.
All right, hold off, Panthers fans, because in about 10 minutes the boys are going to explain exactly how Penrith win tonight's game. But what you're going to do for us now, Girds, MG, how do the Sharks win this game tonight?
It's all about completions for the Sharkies. I think they've got the forward power, the best forwards in this semi-final series, with the depth, even without Graham. You look at their bench with Seguiaro, Woods and Bikuya, all internationals for different countries. They've got Valentine Holmes at fullback, who is at the moment the best player in the competition. He's almost unstoppable with whatever he does. Matt Moreland's out to make amends, I suppose, and show the Panthers why they got rid of him, and say, look, I'm a lot better than you thought I was, I suppose. And they were a bit of a bogey turn, the Sharks, for the Panthers, winning their last five, and including two this year. So, look, I think the Sharks will play to their strengths, which are their forward pack, which has little Val Holmes sniffing around the ruck, and he's the danger man for the Panthers.
But an interesting year for the Sharkies. As MG said, they've beaten Penrith twice, beaten Melbourne twice, but they've lost to most of the sides above them on the competition. They've had a bit of an easy run, a little bit like Penrith's run, to be honest, where at the start of the year, I think they had the Eels twice and the Cowboys twice, and everyone sort of thought, oh, well, they were going to be hard. But in actual fact, they've actually been two of the weaker sides in the competition. Everyone's been able to chalk up wins, but they lost twice to the Dragons. They've lost twice to the Broncos. They got well and truly beaten by the Roosters, and beaten convincingly by South Sydney. So they've fallen on the right side of the draw. They come over to a side which has got the clubs that they like to beat, which is Penrith and which is Melbourne. So if they win tonight, they go out and play Melbourne next week, they'll be really confident going into that one. So they're in a pretty fortuitous position, the Sharkies, and what they do really well, and I think what they'll try and do tonight, they just intimidate sides. They make sides play a style that doesn't suit them. You know, they make it really uncomfortable. They find themselves wrestling and rolling around in the play the ball. And what Penrith like to do, and we saw it last week, and when they play at their best, they've got a lot of the momentum in their game, and they play with a lot of fluency, and they like a quick play of the ball, and they like to play flat and fast. Well, the Sharks, they make you play exactly the opposite way, and that's what they'll try and do. They'll try and frustrate Penrith. They'll try and get out. They'll niggle their kickers. They'll hit them after they kick the football. You know, every time an outside back comes in, their forwards will make them realise that it's not a place where they really need to be coming for the night. They do all those little things, and they really do them well. They push the boundaries of the limits, of the rules of the game, and I think that's why they're super successful. And if they're going to beat Penrith tonight, they'll be out there trying to put them off their game.
And will there be words exchanged between James Maloney and a few of his ex-teammates, you reckon? Will they be targeting him?
Oh, I think it's all mutual respect, to be honest. I think everyone knows what you get with Jimmy Maloney. Everyone, you know, they call him the pest for a reason, and but he's a successful one. He does, wherever he goes, success follows. So there's no doubt tonight that Penrith will target Matt Moylan, and there's no doubt that the Sharks will target James Maloney.
All right, well, I want you gentlemen to prepare your cases for your beloved Penrith and how they are going to win the game. We'll get to that in just a moment. Gerds, very quickly, though.
I like MG's new shaven look, by the way.
It's a good look, isn't it?
Yeah, can we get a picture of that up on the socials? He honestly looks like he's lost about 10 years.
I've got something very special to share with you for our socials in a moment, Gerds. Very quickly, though, at this stage of the year, with the Dragons still in, are you starting to... does your Illawarra heritage come out at all?
No.
No.
He's Illawarra.
If the Steelers were still playing, absolutely.
So you have no warmth.
I find it really hard to adjust to the merger. Yeah. Mm.
What if the Panthers lost tonight?
No.
No. Still no.
No.
Okay.
It's not there.
All right. The rush hour with MG.
I can't pretend it is there.
No,
it's a takeover. Sometimes they wear our old socks.
Oh, you don't like that?
And that's about it. That's
almost worse. That's a backhand.
They're the Dragons.
Okay.
They're the Dragons, and then the other one's kind of the Tigers, really.
They'll call the St. George Illawarra Steelers.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. But it's not.
And if there was a grandstand named after you down at this stadium.
Oh, come on. It should be realistic.
Him and Matty Robble.
The Rush Hour with MG. We are an hour 10 away from kickoff in this one tonight. Coming up very shortly, the boys will explain how the Panthers can win.
The Triple M Rush Hour with MG.
We are live at ANZ Stadium, counting down to the Sharks v Panthers, an hour and 5 minutes away from kickoff in that one. Triple M NRL primetime from 7 o'clock with MG, yourself, Ryan Girdler's here as well, Dan Ganane and Brent Reed, and you'll be speaking to both Shane Flanagan and Cameron Serrato after 7 o'clock, so we're sticking around for that.
If you're listening to us on the way, we are at Allianz, by the way.
Oh, did I say ANZ again?
Like I did before in my story, and I had to do that take two.
We're at Allianz Stadium.
Allianz.
We're at ANZ Stadium and there's nobody here. We're at Allianz Stadium. And we are here thanks to our friends at Chemist Warehouse. It's the home of real brands and real savings. And right now during the footy finals, you can get AFL and NRL team fragrances for just $19.99. Now, Gerds,
yeah.
MG and I, well, as long as Chemist Warehouse have been supporting us on the show, we have been imagining what these team fragrances smell like.
Oh, really? Why won't they tell you?
Well, no, you can go in and check them out for yourself.
That's the idea. Get you in store, and then you buy a few other things.
And so give me a rundown on what you've come up with so far.
Well, the Panthers is kind of like the Mountain Dew coming off the mountains.
Beautiful.
Like the Dragons were like a campfire type thing. Yeah. It was the breathing fire.
Gold Coast Good Titans one. Were a mix of surfboard wax and sun cream.
Okay.
So you're on the northern beaches.
Yeah.
You look after all the Manly locals.
Yep.
What would the Manly Seagulls fragrance be?
Gee, that's a tough one. But the only thing really you can smell when you come into Penrith is coffee. Oh, sorry, into Manly's coffee. Oh, it's at DY, it's at the mall, it's at Manly. It's just all about coffee up on the beaches. So.
Any specific coffee?
Yeah, not really. Just, you know, just...
The Girdler's Grind.
Just some quality.
All right, duck into Girdler's
Quality beans.
Duck into Girdler's Grind for your coffee, but duck into your Chemist Warehouse for everything else. It's the home of real brands. And real savings.
I think coffee as well as soon as I think of Manly, I think of fresh water.
Yeah.
Why?
Oh, because there's a place up there for fresh water.
Or the Spit Bridge.
Gertz and MG are going to tell you exactly how the Panthers win this game in a moment. But first, if you haven't already done so, jump on our socials at Rush Hour Triple M, or head to, if you want to see the full video of this, head to triplem.com.au, because MG, you and Maroon had a bit of fun the other day in the studio.
Yes, we did. At the advice of our boss, Jamie Angel, he thought it'd be fun if Mark Geyer commentated Mark Geyer from 1991 Grand Final. But Maroon, who is the funniest bloke ever to work with, obviously was up for it, and I donned a mullet, and away we went.
The video, you can check it out on our socials, at Rush Hour Triple M. But here is a little bit of Anthony Maroon and Mark Geyer calling Mark Geyer in the 1991 ARL Grand Final.
Oh, we see this kid getting caught out. He's targeted all the time, this young bloke. I tell you what, leave him alone, Harrigan. Leave the kid alone. Let him play footy. It's a grand final.
Well, he's bending down to hear what Bill Harrigan's having to say, but he's getting a bit of a reputation around Penrith, around the pubs and the clubs.
I tell you what, he's a good-looking young bloke.
Well, he is a good-looking rooster, but there's just a little bit too much chutzpah, a little bit too much confidence about him.
Let him embrace it. Come on, as Paul Smith hits the ball up. it was fun.
Victimised, weren't you, MG?
I was, mate. I was.
How did it feel to have the hair back on?
Pardon?
How did it feel to have the hair on?
Awkward.
Awkward? You didn't like it?
I donned a mullet for most of the late 80s and early 90s, but yeah, now I like the bald look.
If you want to check out the full video of that, it's very, very funny. Head to triplem.com.au. After this, we will tell you exactly how the Panthers can win this game. MG, it's full time in the women's game.
Yeah, 14-4 in the end. Isabel
Kelly.
Kelly scored a cry for the Roosters right at the full time.
The Rush Hour with MG, Sydney's 104.9 Triple M. The Rush Hour with MG, Sydney's 104.9 Triple M. We are live at ANZ Stadium. Less than an hour till kickoff. Friday night footy. Sudden death. Sharks, Panthers, for the honour of playing the Melbourne Storm next Friday night down in Melbourne. MG, Ryan Girdler, tell me how the Panthers win this game.
Well, they need to start better. They've lost both times to the Sharks this year, and they've been able to mount some pretty handy comebacks. They did it last week. They were down by 12-2 after about 10 minutes, and they came back against the Warriors. But both times they've been beaten by the Sharks. The Sharks have got out to an early lead, and they haven't been able to run them down. So that tells you one thing. But I think there was a lot of parts of their games last week that if they employ tonight, they'll be successful. And that was their kicking game was really good. Yeah, they did the little things right. They were really disciplined. I think for the Panthers, discipline creates freedom for those guys. You know, if they're controlling the football and they're not giving away penalties, they're getting to the end of the sets and they're kicking, it allows them to then attack the way in which they can really expose the opposition, because they've got so many brilliant individual attacking players. If they're always on their back foot and they're always dropping the football and giving the other opposition the possession and they're always defending, it doesn't allow these really good ball players and individual athletes to come into the contest. So I think last week we saw all of that, and I think that's why they scored a lot of points, where usually Penrith, when they're given those opportunities in other halves, they seem to always try and go for that, the big pass and the big play mentality. Last week I was super impressed with the way, I think they got four or five repeat sets. They were really calm and patient. Their kicking game was great. And defensively on their line tonight, they need to be better. They didn't get put under any pressure defensively last week. The Warriors threw nothing at them. But the first couple of times they got down into Penrith territory early on in the game, they scored easy tries, which was a real concern. Mm. So they need to tighten that part of their game up and then continue on in the vein in which they played last week. And they're a good chance.
Yeah, I think the Sharkies won't let you get away with a 12-point lead. They'll put the foot in the throat and go home with it. I agree 100% what you say about not getting them a lead. I think the Panthers have just got that look about them at the moment that they're the winning Melbourne, albeit against the depleted Melbourne Storm team, done so much for their confidence. Then we saw last week against the Warriors, Cameron Serrato's footprint's really on this team at the moment. And I love the way Dallin Watini's Lesniak has been playing at fullback, starting their sets off on a positive. Last week, Sione Katoa had a dummy half, played his best game, but it's the bench tonight. We're talking about the Sharks bench. You know, Seguiaro, Woods and Bakuya, and potentially maybe Capewell. Well, Tyrone May comes on and makes a difference. Moses Leota and James Tarmow last week were the difference. As soon as they came on, Penrith went even more in the ascendancy. And Corey Hawira-Naira is their X-factor. you know, he can do anything on a footy field. So, look, I think Panthers tonight on the back of James Maloney's kicking game will be too strong for the Sharks, and I think it's going to be a something like a 22-18 scoreline to the Penny Panthers.
Oh, very exciting time for the Penrith Panthers. All right, we are not far away from Triple M NRL primetime. That's coming from 7 o'clock. Ryan Girdler, MG, Brent Reed on the sideline, and Dan Ganane will be running you through all that one. This is the Rush Hour with MG Cities 104.9 Triple M. We are live at ANZ Stadium ahead of the Sharks versus the Panthers.
That's been the Rush Hour catch-up podcast with the legendary MG. If you want more words of wisdom from Origin greats like Blocker, Freddie, Hindy, Mortimer and Menzies, pick yourself up the limited edition New South Wales Blues Tui's new today.